Revelation chapter number 21, verse numbers 15 through 27. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verse number 15. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. I think the one that talked to John was still the angel, previously mentioned in the verse number 9, one of the seven, delivering the twofold message, the message of plagues and revelation of the bliss, and consequence of the stubborn rejection of God's mercy and grace, and the glorious reward for His grace work in all that trust and obey His Son, our Savior and our Lord. The New Jerusalem and the blessed residents in her have similar title, the husband's bride in the verse number 2 and the Lamb's wife in the verse number 9. The Lord's city is perfect, and we are called to grow in faith and knowledge of our God's Son. Epistle to the Ephesians chapter number 4, verse numbers 1 through 13. In the Epistle to the Philippians chapter number 3, verse numbers 13 and 14, Paul tells us, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Verse number 3 is our process and our future. We are not better than the apostles. In the Epistle to the Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11 through 13, Christ our Lord gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse number 15, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, speaking the truth in love. We see our Lord Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 20. A bruised reed shall He not break. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 23, verse number 42, the dying sinner said unto our Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom? Our blessed Lord replied unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He, the Lord Jesus, saved and healed the bruised soul. He is the golden reed, the perfect man's measure, stature, and fullness. The entire city, the bride, is his design, and he is molding us to fit into his body, his city, his bride. In the Psalm number 48, verse number 2, we see Mount Zion, beautiful joy of the whole earth, the city of the great king. Psalm number 31, verse number 3, You are my rock and my fortress. Psalm number 61, verse number 3, You have been a shelter for me and a strong tower. Verse number 4, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. Psalm number 71, verse number 3, You are my strong habitation, for you are my rock and my fortress. Verse number 7, You are my strong refuge. Our King is our all in all. The gates of this city are made to His perfect measure. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 10, verse number 9, our blessed Redeemer is the door. By Him, if any man enters in, shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This wall is His perfect design. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter number 4, verse number 1, to the verse number 35, chapter number 48, is a vision of our God's city. The last words are, The name of the city from that day shall be, The Lord is there. Many details are revealed indicating our designer's precise care for His city. In the book of Zechariah, chapter number 2, verse numbers 1 through 5, are also some exciting prophecies. I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Where do you go? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what the breadth thereof is, and what is the length thereof. The angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, say to this young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, says the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Again and again, our holy and gracious Lord is our all in all. Down here, He is a wall separating us from the world of sin slavery and uniting us in His spirit of holiness, of His holiness, righteousness, and faithfulness to make us one as our Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son are one. Gospel according to John, chapter number 10, verse number 30. In the New Jerusalem, the wall of the same grace and power makes it perfect and keeps it perfect to the eternal glory of God our Savior and to the everlasting delight of all His blessed worshippers. Verse numbers 16 and 17. The city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The four sides are equal. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 28, verse numbers 18 through 20, our Lord Jesus speaks unto his disciples, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In this book of the Revelation, chapter number 7, verse numbers 1 through 3, John sees four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. The mighty Lamb of God turned the dead humanity, tormented by the rage of demons, into battlefield of glorious victory. And the lifeless desert wilderness to fertile soil for the seed of life and truth. The victorious Savior holds the final result of rebellion until all His redeemed receive the permanent, everlasting seal to adore Him in soul, body, mind, and heart. The abundant fruits of our Savior's grace are offered to the entire humanity and given to all who have ears to hear and heart to obey. Gospel according to Luke chapter number 8, verse number 8, and in the book of Acts chapter number 5, verse number 29. In this world our God's city is open in sight to the humanity, in spite of man-made barriers. In eternity remains the true testimony of the everlasting gospel. The Lamb's ransom was offered to all nations. Let us continue in prayers and labor for these perfect dimensions of our designer to be obvious in our testimony and adoration as we strive and pray to come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God's Son, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Epistle to the Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 13. Let us be His city on His holy Zion hill. The heavenly messenger measures the city with the golden measure of Christ our Lord. In the sight of our heavenly Father, as He sees us through the merit of His Son, all of our three dimensions are equal. In His work, we are open as wide as the opportunities He opens to us. We reach as far and endure as long as He appoints to us. We grow as He blesses us. Even today in our pilgrimage, and much more in glory, we praise the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Epistle to the Ephesians chapter number 3, verse numbers 16 through 19. As we read in Romans, Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 11, verse numbers 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? Of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The dimensions of the wall are 144 cubits. This is not in miles nor kilometers. This is measured by the golden reed. The heavenly fellowship city has been designed to accommodate every member of Christ's body. In the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 1, verse numbers 9 through 19, we learn, Paul, the apostle, ceased not to pray for us and to desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that we might walk worthy of the Lord, increasing in the knowledge of God, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us into the kingdom of His dear Son. All things in heaven and earth were created by Him and for Him. He is before all, and by Him all consist. He is the head of the body, the church. In all things He has the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in Him all fullness dwells. In this book of the Revelation, chapter number 14, verse number 1, John sees the Lamb stands on the Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. The city of Christ's fellowship unites all the ransomed. The city is measured by the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. In the chapter number 19, verse number 10, John fell at the angel's feet to worship him. The angel said unto John, "See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. The host of heaven and the ransomed are of the same measure in worship of the Father and Son." Verse numbers 18 through 20. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. We are looking at the jasper stone again. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 39, verse numbers 8 through 14, our Lord instructed Moses to make the breastplate with 12 jewel stones for the priestly garments, a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst, a beryl, an onyx, and jasper. The stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to the 12 tribes. In this book of the Revelation, chapter number 4, verse number 3, He who is on the throne was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. In this chapter, verse number 10, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, verse number 11, has the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The wall around the heavenly Jerusalem has been built of our God's glory. It is to God's glory that our Savior has given us guidelines and teaching to stay away from every falsehood. It is to our Heavenly Father's glory that only the blood of God's Lamb cleanses all that receive the citizenship of this city. The citizens' unity in the Holy Spirit, signified by the wall, is to the glory of the Father and the Son. As our Master teaches us in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 5, verse numbers 13 and 14, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid." Man-made wall protects a man-made city, and both must perish like Jericho in the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. The children, respecting the guidelines and boundaries set by the one on the throne, the one jasper-like in the beauty of His holiness, chapter number 4, verse number 13, are inside the true wall, the secured Christ-Spirit fellowship. Inside this wall is the golden city of God. Her gold is not the perishable gold we read about in the first epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 18. This gold is the eternal love of our Heavenly Father in His beloved Son, given to His ransomed children. This gold is pure. Since the endless eternity and through the endless eternity, in Him has been and forever is pure and perfect love for all in his son. This gold is fully transparent. This gold was tested on Golgotha, and nothing but pure gold was manifested in the sight of the entire heavenly host. The prince of this world has nothing in our Lord Jesus. Gospel according to John, chapter number 14, verse number 30. This gold is our Father's most precious treasure, the ransom for His Son's bride. So, we know that only His love makes us true citizens of His city. Man-built walls might be decorated above the ground. The wall of God's city is built upon the most beautiful foundation. Let us pray for deeper insight into the beauty of our Creator and Savior's holiness, that we might become more fervent in our prayers, seeking His purification in our heart and mind, soul and body, as He prepares us for His city. The first foundation is jasper. The beauty of His holiness is the same in its foundation as in the full sight. This chapter number 21, verse number 11. The first and foremost is His holiness and His righteousness in the first foundation. If we have any godliness, it's all in Him and nothing apart from Him. Our God's holiness has no spots or blemishes. His city rests upon His everlasting righteousness. Jasper of the first foundation, and jasper, the last in the breastplate, encircle all the ransomed. The earliest believers like Abel and Enoch are as much in the heart of our great high priest as the last one brought in before the end time. Those hired first in the gospel according to Matthew chapter number 20 verse number 1, early in the morning, and the last laborers hired the 11th hour, verse number 6, are equally rewarded according to our Master's goodness, verse number 16. The lifelong disciples and the crucified thief depend on our God's mercy. Sapphire is the second foundation. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 24, verse numbers 9 and 10, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it was paved works of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. In the chapter number 39, verse numbers 10 through 13, the 12 precious stones are in the breastplate set in four rows, a sardius, a topaz, a carbuncle, an emerald, a sapphire, a diamond, a ligure, an agate, an amethyst, a beryl, an onyx, and jasper. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 21, verse number 26, is a vision. Above the firmament, over the heads of the cherubim, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. The prophet Ezekiel has seen another vision in the chapter number 10, verse number 1. In the firmament that was above the heads of the cherubim, there appeared as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Sapphire signifies God's majesty, adored by the entire universe. Chalcedony, sardonyx, chrysolite, chrysoprasus, and jacinth I have not found in any other place in the book. I perceive difficulties of the translators, yet I have confidence in our Lord's goodness and might in preserving the spirit of His word. In the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 2, verse number 6 through 12, we read, "As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk you in Him, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him also you are circumcised, buried with Him in baptism, raised with Him." not only the foreshadowing images of the ordinances given to Israel signified the fullness in Christ our Lord, but also his own journey in his flesh reveals and confirms his reality in our journey. But the shadows are not a perfect and in all details complete forecast of the reality. Some parts were applications for Israel of that time and location, but not for us today. It is evident that the fullness contains more essence than we see evidenced in the foreshadowing images of ordinances. After each segment of any Bible book I have studied and expounded upon, I had a clear sense that I have touched only the surface of the unsearchable depth in my desire to understand more and to encourage all the users of this site to keep on seeking our Lord's guidance. John certainly received more and brighter revelation than we can understand. Chapter number 10, verse number 4. The abundance of our God's grace, His unsearchable wisdom, His majesty and the beauty of His holiness are signified by these precious stones as the everlasting attributes of the Almighty. To Him belong power, government, and adoration forever. To Him we owe our soul and body, mind and heart. He has created and redeemed us. He is our blessedness. Verse numbers 21 through 23. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, every gate one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The final part of Ezekiel's vision in the chapter number 48, verse numbers 30 through 35, tells about the 12 gates of Jerusalem. In this chapter we see our God's visions revealed to the holy prophets, fulfilled in Christ our Lord. In the perfect fulfillment of our Father's grace in Christ to all of His children, every gate is one pearl. Measureless eternal value to all who enter in, trusting and obeying the Son. Our Lord Jesus speaks of one gate only in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 7, verse numbers 13 and 14. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 10, verse number 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. In the unique personal title and work of our Savior and Lord, He is the one and only gate to salvation and life eternal. In the 12 gates of the Jerusalem wall, we see our Lord's sufficiency for the salvation of all His ransomed. From every walk of human life in the world of sinners, every ethnicity, social and material positions, whoever comes to our Savior, the gate is open to sincere, genuine, penitent seeker of salvation. The city street was pure, transparent gold like glass. In this focus we see no cross streets. Here is the perfect harmony of our Lord's Spirit. John sees no temple therein. Our Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple of it. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 40, verse numbers 33 and 34, Moses reared up the tabernacle and the altar. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 3, verse number 16, tells us, you are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And in the chapter number 6, verse number 19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Here, The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple of His city, and this city is the bride, the ransomed and changed people of God. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 15, verse numbers 51 through 57. Here they are in perfect unity with the bridegroom. In the wonderful world our Creator made in the book of Genesis, sunshine graced man's daily labor, and moonshine blessed their peaceful rest. In this glorious New Jerusalem, there is no sunset of our Father's Son, S-O-N, Son of Righteousness. In Him, the Father's glory is ever bright, and here the ransomed bride is forever in His delightful embrace of His eternal grace and love. Forever are the jubilant praises in the chapter number 4, verse number 11, chapter number 5, verse numbers 9 and 12. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Blessing, honor, glory, and power unto Him upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Our Almighty God forever rewards His Lamb's victory in His ransomed fellow heirs. Verse numbers 24 through 27. The nations of the saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter number 19, verse numbers 22 through 25 is an amazing, mysterious prophecy. The Lord shall smite Egypt, He shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even to the Lord, and He shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day shall there be an highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. Our Lord Jesus says in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19, Go you and teach all nations. In this book of the Revelation, chapter number 7, verse number 9, John beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. There is room for all the ransomed. There is no vacancy at all. Our God speaks in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter number 55, verse numbers 11 through 13, My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. You shall go out with joy, led forth with peace. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The glory of the saved is their Savior. As in so many passages, here also the revelation includes many dimensions. Testimony of the past times, prophecy for the future, and enlightenment to our understanding of the entire Holy Scripture, including this revelation. Amazing is the Word of God, our Creator and Savior. In the New Jerusalem, all the redeemed walk in the perfect light of the Lamb. While we are here, we have the revealed truth, the gospel of salvation in Christ, the Son of the Father. All disciples walking in His light are on the path of life everlasting. That is our reliable testimony and assurance of belonging to His family, His bride, and being the members of His body, the true church. Our pilgrimage is blessed, our future in glory. Who are the kings of the earth that do bring their glory and honor into it? There were a few kings in the recorded history with the testimony of our God's glory in their rule. I perceive that the majority of the kings that bring their glory and honor into the New Jerusalem are recorded in the Revelation chapter number 5, verse numbers 6 through 14, especially the verse number 10. The Lamb has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. From Abel and Enoch to Stephen and John, all are kings with glory in Christ. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Since our fall, until our Redeemer spelled the end of rebellion, every gate is open in Him who has said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Gospel according to John chapter number 10, verse number 9. Let us live and proclaim the gospel. Let us herald the judgment day. The gates are still open for genuine seekers. Whosoever will may come, as our Master tells us in the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 3, verse number 35. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. And in the chapter number 8, verse numbers 34 and 35. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Whosoever will ends on earth. Saved by grace remains in glory with our blessed Lord forever. Perhaps in that city of everlasting joy and adoration, the 12 open gates will forever testify that only stubborn rebels remained outside because they refused our Father's grace offered in the Savior. The open gates witness to all that the blessed ransomed citizens live in joy, not compelled, but because they would not exchange it for any other place. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Again, the glory of the saved nations in all generations is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In loyalty to Him, we are prepared to live and die down here, for He is our blessedness. Our elder brother Peter rejoiced in our Lord's revelation in the book of Acts, chapter number 10, verse numbers 34 and 35. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 10, verse numbers 11 through 13. Glory to our God! There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. These words could be just one additional question concerning our place and position in the sight of our Creator and Savior, if the following words in the same sentence would not point our attention to the Lamb of God, the only worthy ransom. In this verse, verse number 27, is an answer to the ever-repeated question, a very important question. Am I acceptable to my Creator, or am I going to experience an enormous disappointing and horrifying surprise? Am I ready for His eternal reward, or am I preparing myself for everlasting condemnation? If all defilements are outside, where am I? The entire Scripture provides the answer. My entire journey through this world is a continuous test, revealing to me my standing or falling in my relationship with my God. The Scripture provides for me the proper, correct reading of the test results. The prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter number 33, covers the entire humanity. Verse numbers 13 through 16 reveal my own individual position before my Creator, my Judge, or my Savior, my Redeemer. Trusting in the mercy and the saving and sustaining grace of our Father in Christ is coupled with wholehearted labor to be faithful and fruitful in our stewardship. Trusting in my own righteousness is a snare of our enemy. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 18, verse numbers 9 through 14, that He speaks this parable unto certain which trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice each week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself is abased, and he that humbles himself is exalted. Among all worshippers around the throne, none exalts himself. All glorify the one on the throne, the one worthy to receive honor and glory forever and ever. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. First Epistle of John, chapter number 1, verse numbers 5 through 10. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Again, First Epistle of John, chapter number 3, verse number 2. The New Jerusalem is the city of all written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we understand and believe these facts, we join the blessed worshippers around His throne in the Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are and were created. chapter number 5, verse numbers 9 through 12. Thou art worthy, thou wert slain, and have redeemed us to God by thy blood, and have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing to the Lamb. The Lamb slain since the foundations of the world remains forever our all in all, our Father's glory forever.